When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Whatever people celebrate. I don't know. We over here at Cover to Cover have decided to do something fun. We did a Patreon episode a few weeks ago that we thought was pretty good. Interesting chat about comedy and some other stuff. So we thought we'd release it to everybody here on a Wednesday just for fun. We're going to throw it out to the listening public to enjoy. So here it is. This is a Patreon episode, and if you like it, go over to Patreon and join. Otherwise, we'll have our regular episodes up on Tuesday and Thursday, but this one is just a bonus because we love you all. Enjoy. Yeah, a little Bob Seger starting things off. We're back. We are back on a Monday. I just flew in from Providence, Rhode Island. That's where I flew in from. Five cities and five nights. Did it.
Nice.
Went through some treacherous weather to get my rental car back. 3 o'clock in the morning, driving through roads. I can't see anything. Pitch dark. Pouring rain, wind, everything. I did it somehow. We'll talk about a little weekend wrap up. We're happy to be back. It's exciting. I watched a movie on the flight. I watched The Machine, Bert Kreischer, The Machine. Ooh. Not bad. Not bad. Bert Kreischer's pretty good. I laughed a couple of times. It gets a little off the wall. At one time, you know, towards the end, but I can't say that I hated it. For a plain movie, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So there you go. What can we talk? All right, let's knock it out. Right, weekend wrap up. Where were we? Last time I saw you was Cleveland.
Cleveland?
No, Buffalo.
Last time
we
I saw
started
you,
yeah. in Cleveland at Hilarities in Cleveland on Wednesday night. And this was it. This was the final shows of my 2023 tour. And, man, I thought every one of them was better than the next. Every show was great. We couldn't have went out in a better way. Everybody showed up to Cleveland. We had a great turnout. Thank the Lord. Because, you know, I just never know. I don't get my numbers beforehand. But Cleveland always treats me well. They're great people. The club is great. Everything about it's great. But it was nonstop from the moment I landed. They called me at the Cleveland Club, and they were like, can you come do the radio show? He's a friend of mine, the guy on the radio show. So I immediately ran over to do Alan Cox show. He's okay. A great guy.
Nice.
And but it was like, it was 5 p.m. when I was doing the show. Like, the show, our show was at 7.
Yeah.
It's not like we were going to sell more tickets, you know. So I just did it as kind of like for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ran right to the show from Alan Cox and just never stopped from that point forth. Just
go, go, go,
go, go, go on to the, we had a great show. It was you, me, Olivia. I felt like it was fun, right? Did you have fun in Cleveland?
I had a great time.
Yeah. And then it was back up to the room And after the show, meeting everybody. We did the meets, the greets. Everybody's nice, great people of Cleveland. And I do my meet and greets, Alex, as do you. You go like behind the merch table. Mm-hmm. You do your meet and greets. I do my meet and greets. We don't charge anybody.
Nope.
We're, you know, decent people. We're not looking to shake people down for some more money. We let, you know, I get in there, we get hugs and, you know, you smell nice, you look nice. That's all I like to hear, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was great. It was nice to always see the people of Cleveland. A lot of them I've seen throughout the years. So, you know, good friends of mine. I'll be a little low key today, I must tell you, because let's see, my flight boarded at 4:40 a.m. out of Providence.
Mm-hmm.
So I was up at 3 because I was panicked that I wasn't going to be able to find the rent-a-car place. Normally, these things are easy. I noticed in Rhode Island, nothing's easy. Nothing is easy. I've never seen more treacherous roads in my life to navigate. And the hotel I stayed in, because I wanted to be close to the airport, so I got a hotel close to the airport instead of by this stadium theater where I was playing, which was a half hour away from where my hotel was.
Wow.
So I had to drive in the pouring rain to the show. And I don't know. I mean, there's so much road construction going on, people flying down the street, cones everywhere. I don't know what the fuck. At one point, I went down a one-way road the wrong way. And a cop was like, he was coming the other direction of all the people. It's a fucking cop.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm looking for the stadium theater. He must have been like, oh, this old timer's probably trying to go see A Christmas Carol or some shit. Doesn't know where he is. But anyway, it turns out I was like right there, so I just turned in the parking lot. So I made it look like I was just going down this one-way road for a second before I turned in the parking lot. Anyway, it's all in. But I made it in. Anyway, we'll get to that one show in a second. So I slept an hour, and I'm still. So then I land. I have to run to a thing here for a new school, you know, like meet and greet with the
like
school.
An interview?
Interview, yeah. I run right to that and then run to get my daughter and then run back here. And you saw when you walked in to do this, we were doing, obstacle course.
Ninja training.
Yeah, we were playing ninja training obstacle course here in the garage. And so that's what I do. It's just nonstop, has not stopped. So now here we are. Taping this late, so we'll release it right as soon as we're done. So many of you on the East Coast probably already done for the night, so you'll get it in the morning. So yeah, Cleveland, great. I mean, I don't know what more I can say about it. It's just like so nice to see what I consider at this point our friends, you know, mm-hmm. Good, decent people of Cleveland always. And then on to Buffalo. We drive to Buffalo. Olivia takes the driving over. I get to sit in the back seat. Which is lovely.
Yeah.
And it flew by. I mean, it seemed like that was a quick trip.
Quick trip,
I mean,
It
was like 2.5 hours, but it flew by.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can chat. Me, Alex, and Olivia can chat. We like to shit on other comedians for 2.5 hours. Now we get to Buffalo. And I didn't know anything about Buffalo. I didn't hear anything about ticket sales or whatever. But I was happy with it.
Yeah.
I was happy. You know, we don't kill it up in upstate New York. Upstate New York has not been kind to us.
Yeah.
But they turned out, and it was good. Once again, a real fun show at Helium Buffalo. I felt like the people at the club were nice. They were all business, you know. I don't think they cared if we were, you know, they got to turn it, and they got somebody else tomorrow. I'm like, thank you. And then we went to a bar afterwards. Some people invited us over to a bar, and we walked in, and there was a lot of people recognizing us, me and...
You.
Yeah, and it was, you know, but not even, they weren't even at the show. They were recognizing me from, like, Chelsea Lately days and stuff. And I was getting a little bit of a weird vibe from that bar, weren't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think it was a gay bar. If it wasn't a gay bar.
At least that night.
Yeah, exactly. If it wasn't a gay bar, it was wasting solid, good at gay energy.
Because
it should be a gay bar. If it wasn't, they got the clientele to easily make it a gay bar.
Yeah.
It was that one guy who came up and, you know, first of all, he's a 45-year-old Chelsea Lately fanatic, you know.
Yeah.
And then he starts telling me about all the Broadway shows that he goes to from Buffalo. He drives down to New York and goes see. And I was like, oh, okay, I see what we're doing here now.
Yeah.
And then the one guy talking to you, He was real strange.
He was pretty forward, but I didn't pick it up. Until,
I got it right away when he first came up.
You know when I realized it was when I kind of was getting like, don't fuck with my man vibes from Olivia. And I was like, oh, he's hitting. Like, she was, I felt
well, then
daggers.
At one point, didn't you say something like, this bar got better when you walked in or
then
something?
Then he just opened it right up. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
Oh, he wanted to open it up all
right. Yes, he did.
Then I was like, and then, you know, I hit the wall eventually after, you know, we flew in to Cleveland on Wednesday and I just wanted to get out of there. You know, I'm like, all right. But there was some fans in there who went to the show and they were fun to talk to. I had a good time over there. And then back to the hotel and on our way to, oh, you guys split. Mm-hmm. We parted ways at that point.
We did.
But thanks, Buffalo. I got to tell you, I definitely come back. I really had a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Great to see the people of Buffalo. I haven't played Buffalo in forever.
That was a really fun crowd.
Yeah, it was a good crowd. That was a good show. And then I go to New York City. You go back to Cleveland. You do your show. I head to New York City for a night off and a party in New York City with my brother, who just, oh my God, he can drink and party. Like, that's his life. You know, he's in the restaurant business, and he stays up till 4 o'clock in the morning, and he just drink. They just drink. They just go from bar to bar and Jameson and this and that. And I mean, I can't stay in that ring at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not good. But I made a reservation at a place called Monkey Bar. I looked up, you know, because I wanted to have like, you know, what I like to get. I like to get my hip dinner, see what the cool scene is.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything. So I look up a place called Monkey Bar. And I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to say it. There is a thing, I don't even know how I found it. It's called Appointment Trader. Are you familiar with this?
No.
It's called Appointment Trader. And what Appointment Trader is you can buy dinner reservations.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so if you want to go to the hot spot where there's no way in hell you can get a reservation, I guess there's a certain group of people who go out there months in advance, maybe years in advance, and get a reservation for a Friday night at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
All right. They're never planning on going, but they just get the reservation, and then they go on Appointment Trader and they sell it. Okay?
Okay.
I somehow have $100 credit on Appointment Trader. Somebody gave it to me. It was like a promotion for maybe this or something, the podcast. Anyway, so I forgot all about it. I put in like hip restaurants in New York, which is the worst thing you could possibly do. And this place comes up and it says $65 for a table for two at 8 p.m. on Friday. So I was like, oh, well, I already got the $100 credit. I'll pay $65 for a reservation at Monkey Bar. So I'm in. I think it's a complete scam because it's like, the name is like, you know, Julio Garcia, and you can't change it. It's like, you got to go in and say, I'm Julio Garcia. So now, and I guess they don't care. They're saying, yeah, well, yeah, the reservation's in here.
Yeah.
So I go thinking it's going to be a scam, but like, you're out $65. But it works. So then my brother and I, but we meet, you know, we're walking around the city and, you know, before we get to 8 o'clock, we have five drinks and places, and I'm kind of, but then we get in, we sit down. Oh, and it's everything I wanted. It is a hot New York scene. And then we're sitting there, and who comes walking in and sits right next to us? Aaron Judge.
Ooh.
Yes, Aaron Judge. Only maybe the greatest baseball player currently in baseball. Some would say maybe in history, because he just broke the record for home runs and he's on a tear to be, I mean, the guy's putting up Babe Ruth numbers. He's a god in New York. He's a New York Yankee. He's a tall 6'7" handsome guy. And I thought it was somebody who looked like him. I told my brother, I go, oh, look, this guy looks like Aaron Judge. And then I was like, no, it is Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
He sits down with his wife. And of course, my brother's nine, you know, Jameson's in. And he's like, the Yankees just got a new guy. They just got Juan Soto. So my brother's like, oh, I see you got a new friend coming on the team. And he was actually very nice. Like, yeah, it's coming. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun, you know. Then I told my brother, like, okay, leave him alone now. You know, just let the guy. But it seemed like the crowd didn't really, I mean, I don't know how you do not know who Aaron Judge is. He's guy's hard to hide. You know, like I said, he's like 6'8" and he sticks out like crazy. But it didn't seem like the crowd who would know Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
You know, so
except
for the two of us, you know,
and that's probably why he goes there.
And
honestly,
he was probably like, great. I sit next to the two dopey Long Island baseball fans. but anyway, we were having a great time, and he was doing his thing with his wife. And then of course my brother on the way out, the captain of the team, blah, blah, blah. So, and, it was fun. He seemed like a very nice guy, but it's already, we're like, this is great. And then of course you make the mistake of hitting 12 other bars till 3 o'clock in the morning and just brutal. Mm-hmm. But once again, trying to point out that I just did not stop.
Go, go, go.
Then what was next? Oh, shit, Long Island. Then I go. I get up. I'm hungover in the morning. I can't drink anymore. I don't drink like that. I don't stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't drink. I am no fun anymore. But I had a nice hotel, and I wake up, and I take, and it's SantaCon in the streets.
Oh, yeah.
I walk out the door, and I start seeing a few Santa Clauses. And then I had to go get on the subway. I walked towards Times Square, and oh my God, there's 10,000 of them. They're just everywhere. I mean, it looks like, honestly, it looks like a fun time. If mm-hmm. I was one of those people, you could have a good time. But this is 10 a.m. and they are going hard.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would imagine by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they're beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was all going on. It seemed to be the headquarters, like the starting point for the whole thing. I think it's like a bar crawl type thing. I'm not exactly sure how it works. But I'm not kidding you with 10,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it seemed to be all beginning at the Margaritaville Hotel in Times Square.
Nice.
Which I thought we did a story on that it had closed down, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think it's back up and running.
Yeah.
And SantaCon was in it.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, you should have saw the line of people waiting to get in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it must have been 1,000 people waiting in line to get in, all in Santa Claus costume.
Yeah. I'm looking, and it is indeed a pub crawl.
That's what I figured. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how you could possibly fit all these people into the pubs.
Yeah.
So anyway, then I go out in the morning. I get on the subway, and I head to Kennedy Airport, and I get my rental car and head out to Long Island, Levittown, Long Island. And I want to say this. Thank you to the Scotto family. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
The Scottos. S-C-O-T-T-O.
Okay.
The Scottos, particularly one of them. She goes above and beyond and gives me a hotel room when I'm in town, at least the last two times I'm in town.
Whoa.
I feel like I might be pushing it at this point. Mm-hmm. Like if I go back for a third time, they're like, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But she did ask me, she said, she asked me if I wanted it two nights. I said, no, I'll be in New York City one night, just the one night, it'll be fine. It's called the Inn at Fox Hollow mm-hmm. in like, Merrick or something. Anyway, God, it's the nicest hotel on Long Island. I mean, I stay in some shitholes on Long Island, and I'm talking like, I'm not talking the Hamptons. You know, that's a different story. I'm talking Ronkonkoma, that area. They don't really have nice hotels except for this one. And then they stocked the room for me. I walk in and she's like, got food in there and drinks in there. And it's just like the greatest. So I'm already very excited about that.
VIP.
Then, you know, the dread starts to come over me in waves as I start getting texts from people who are coming to the show. People I haven't seen in 30 years. We're coming, we're on our way, bro. We had a bunch of drinks at Flanagan's, and we're ready to go, ready to heckle you. And I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, I'm so over this point in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And like now we have a pretty good fan base.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need, you know, this is going to sound like a dick, but I don't need to be supported anymore, you know? I'm coming out to support, bro. You know, like, I'm good. I got it.
Yeah.
So I walk in, and I love the owner of those Governors. I mean, this guy is like right out of a Scorsese movie. I mean, he is like head gangster, got his suits on and his whole thing, and he's the greatest guy. And right away, he's like, I don't know if there's going to be 40 people there, or there's going to be 400. And it's the big club. The one in Levittown's the big one. It's behind like a PC Richards. Like everything about it's like very Nassau County, Long Island.
Okay.
You know? I mean, it's so funny. We were talking about Riz last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know? the word of the year, Riz, being for charisma.
Charisma.
And I don't, like, you could only have so much charisma in life because the amount of times you're humbled, at least in the business I'm in, and I would imagine every business, you just get constantly, and then even again on the plane, as I talked about when we discussed the Riz last time, today on the plane, I had to switch my flight because we had an issue with that I had to get to this school interview.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a later flight coming in. I was going to get in like 8 p.m. tonight. So my wife's like, you got to change that. You got to leave. It's like, and I said, well, it's 1:05 in the morning. So I was like, shit. So I changed it. Anyway, so because I changed it, I lose my seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I get like, well, we have 2 seats left.
Yeah.
And they're
back of the plane.
Back like 42 middle seat.
Yeah.
The absolute, I mean, could you think of anything worse?
It's the worst.
So that's what I get. And I sit down. Fortunately, it was the exit row. So there was some leg room. Thank the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to come get up and go as I please and have to walk past anybody. But there's two giant, me and the two guys next to me are all 6 foot plus. We look like the offensive line of the New York Giants. I mean, sitting there, it's just everyone's giant. And we got a little tray out and the guy comes past and he says, you want a drink? I'm, yes, I have a Diet Coke. And he gives us a little tiny cup of Diet Coke. Now you don't get the can,
mm-hmm.
just a cup. And then you want a snack? And I go for the Sun Chips. You know my order, Alex.
Yep.
Sun Chips. This Garden Salsa this time. Last
Ooh.
Time, Harvest Cheddar.
Okay.
This time, Garden Salsa.
What do you prefer?
Actually, probably Harvest Cheddar, but Garden Salsa is not the worst.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then I am sitting there, and we're grown men. The guy next to me is older than me. The guy on the other side is probably my age. And all three of us just sitting there, hovered over our tiny Diet Coke, eating like little tiny bags of Sun Chips. Like,
yeah.
Like school children.
Yes.
Like, oh, thanks for the snack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's, and right, if you had any Riz, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone when you pull in behind the PC Richards, which is a major appliance store in Long Island, for those of you who don't know. And you put, and then behind the PC Richards is the governor's. And you park in the PC Richards parking lot and walk to the governor's, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? It's not Radio City Music Hall, is my point.
Yeah.
And I walk in and there's 2 rooms. There's a drag show going on in one of the rooms, smaller room, and it's a Golden Girls drag show.
Ooh.
But only 2 of the Golden Girls, Bea Arthur and the little, I guess they were mother and daughter on Golden Girls. I don't really know the Golden, but I think they were mother and daughter. I think Bea Arthur and what was Estelle Getty was her name, the actress. And I think they played mother and daughter on the show. Anyway, it's 2. The one guy is absolutely enormous. He's got to be with all the shit on.
Mm-hmm.
He's 7 feet tall, and he's playing B. Arthur. And he is good. Anyway, yeah. He's a fan of mine.
Oh,
but from the Chelsea Lately days, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes walking back, and he's like, "Oh my God, I cannot believe I'm in the same building as Chris Rangel." And he's dressed like B. Arthur, and he's doing B. Arthur. You know, he's doing B. Arthur to me.
Mm-hmm.
And now here comes the Estelle Getty guy, and now I'm in the shtick. They're doing the shtick to me in like the hallway of the club. I'm just in the green room. I haven't even gone on yet.
So you're Blanche?
Well, that's what I'm like. Well, now what am I in the bed here? Like,
yeah.
I said, you guys are really good. Like, they are good. They're excellent. If it comes your way on Long Island, they play all over Long Island, like bingo and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But so I saw those guys, and I saw the turnout for them in the little room. I swear there was 12 people. And they were working hard. First of all, they got to put on all the shit.
Yeah.
You know, and that seems like that's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to go up in front of 12 people singing, dancing, bingo. And I'm like, see, could be worse. Could be worse.
Yep.
I could be putting on Rouge for 12 people and trying to do a B. Arthur impression. You know, but they were great guys, really super nice guys. I chatted with them after, and then we wrote me on Instagram and very, very nice. So if you're out that way, check out this show because they are pros. But anyway, I walk in and there's the owner who, once again, I love him. And he's like, whoa, you sold the shit out of this place tonight.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh my God, thank God. Thank God. So it holds like 260. I think we sold 240.
Wow.
Maybe
nice.
More. We were close. And he was just thrilled. You know, he's just like, this is a killer Saturday night. I got two opening guys, a guy and a girl. One of them's Big J Okerson's ex-wife.
Oh, Chris.
She's like a Colombian woman.
Yeah.
She was good.
What's her name?
She's very nice. Yeah. But anyway, I didn't realize afterward the owner tells me, because it's Big J Okerson's wife. I'm like, oh, she didn't mention that to me.
Yeah.
And then this other guy. They were great. They were both great. And then I get up. And I've gotten to the point now, thank the Lord, where I just let it happen. Like, Long Island is going to be Long Island. My friends are going to be my friends. I'm not going to let it bother me. You know, when you walk out as a performer, a comedian, I don't know if you guys are performers, maybe some of you are, I don't know. But you don't want to see your friends in the front row. No. I don't know. But they insist upon doing it because they think it's something. Now, what they do over at this Governor's is they do a thing where you can get a ticket and like a whole meal package thing. It's like $65 and it comes with everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes with the ticket to the show, you know, chicken, steak, fish, your choice of salads, soup, and a dessert. And that's what it comes.
It's like the Olive Garden.
It really is. Yeah. And you get to choose it beforehand, you know. So I hear the people. You can hear the people talking about, you know, no, when it's now the dessert portion's coming. And they're like, no, I got the cheesecake, not the carrot cake. So, and it's just like the one guy's, there's a guy I know. He's Carl's brother, Sean McKinnon.
Oh.
He's fucking asking for carrot cake. Like, and finally I was like, what? Enough with the fucking carrot. Like, who comes to a comedy club for carrot cake? And then it was just, I just said, fuck it. I got to have fun with it. I mean, it was a little chatty, but I had fun with it. I feel like the people had fun too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people were into it. It wasn't the show I want to do, but it's the show I had to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And sometimes I don't want to do that. I want to do the show I want to do, but Long Island does not let you.
No.
They do not let you do the show you want to do. And I think I don't know if it's my friends, because most of the people there were fans of Cover to Cover or Juicy Scoop or whatever. And they were perfectly great and listening. And, you know, these days I tell fucking stories. I tell longer stories. Like I made a commitment, Alex,
mm-hmm.
to like have the shows now be more like this podcast. You know, I don't need to necessarily do joke. I like to kind of, in the beginning of the show, kind of chat about the city and have goof on it and, you know, have some fun with whatever
mm-hmm.
and then get into the material, and then the material takes some turns and go. The stories are longer, like this podcast, like long form chatting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're allowed to do it, if, you know, like Cleveland and Buffalo and Rhode Island, they let you do it and it could be great. If I'm good and the audience is good, the fucking show is good.
That hour flies by.
Oh, man, it flies by. Everything hits, you know. But the other thing was, I was, as you know, you think a million things when you're on stage. You know, you do the act, and also you got 9,000 other things going on in your head. Like, why are they talking about carrot cake? Why is this table chatting? Why is this? Why is that? And then I start thinking, like, God, it's fuck, you know, and this is not to be mean toward the people who are, because they are, it is nice of them to come out. Mm-hmm. My friends, I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's horribly fucking rude to do to a performer. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my takeaway from it. And I, you know, and these guys are great. I've known them for 100 years. But it's like, what a shitty thing to do. Like, I would never a million years go to a show of a friend of mine and just constantly interrupt the show. I would now I know they were drinking and they were pretty drunk, but towards the end, I mean, they were just nonstop interrupt, like just talking to me on stage.
Yeah.
And we had fun with it. I don't think it ruined the show. I hope it didn't for the regular people who were there, like fans of Cover to Cover. But it's just a lot. And we went long and we had fun. And so I think we were at this point 3 for 3. That was a different show that I wanted to do, but it was fun. But then I'm back at the hotel room and I'm just like, God, what a shitty thing to do.
Yeah.
To like me, to the people there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I happened to the next day, I follow a comedian. His name's Mike Marino. He's been around forever. And I follow him, and he always does a thing, and he does the morning walk with Mike, and he just walks around whatever city he's in. He's in Florida a lot. Anyway, he was talking about, he goes, let me tell you about last night's show at the Black Box in Boca Raton. I've been there many times. Anyway, he was just like, complete fucking nightmare. Like this, all, the, you know, just people you know, talking from the, finally the bouncer had to pull him out, like a fist fight, threw a drink at him on stage. And he was saying the same thing I was saying. He's like, isn't that awful of people to do? Like walk in and just...
completely derail.
Completely interrupt.
Everything.
Like, I don't know. I just don't feel like I would ever do that. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine going to see one of your friends performing in something? I mean, none of my friends have any talent, so they would never go on to do anything. But if I had a friend who was like a comedian or something and I went to the show, I would be mortified if I was the person who just started like chatting. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I'm good at handling that kind of shit. I've been doing it a long time. I could do what I call lion tamer comedy. I could lion tame any crowd. And it's because I came up through the ranks of governors on Long Island. I learned to lion tame. And the reason why we call it lion tamer comedy, because it's just that. In the old lion tamer days, they used to have like a chair and a whip. And you just had to keep the lion at bay for as long as you possibly could. Mm-hmm. And that's what playing, not just Long Island, many places, many cities, it's not as bad as it used to be because now we have a following and they come. So there's not many seats left for the lions.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. There's less lions, but they're still there. Mm-hmm. And there's more of them on Long Island than there are in any other city in the country. And every comedian will tell you, and this, I'm not saying this in a bad way, because I loved that show. It was off the wall and I had a blast. But if it weren't me and another comedian, it's a shitty thing to do.
Yeah.
And I know some people do it because they're just drunk. But even still, I get drunk too. Well, I don't feel the need to, you know, like if I went to a Broadway show and just started yelling at the performers on stage, I'd be arrested.
Yeah.
You know, like it's crazy that we just, I mean, it's almost, and I believe we created it. The comedians created it. Mm-hmm. We're the ones who kept talking about heckling from the dawn of stand-up comedy until now. It's the one thing, like if a layman, you talk to a layman about stand-up comedy, the first thing they'll ask is, you ever get heckled? It's the only thing they know about.
Yeah.
Because we made it a fucking thing. You know, if we nipped it in the bud right off the bat, whenever, 100 years ago, whenever stand-up comedy began, it wouldn't be what it is today, where it's every show.
Yeah.
Every single show.
Every show.
Is somehow, and I don't mind. I like a little of it. Because it's fun for me to, you know, I could work with it. But when they're just talking to each other or to me on stage, it's disruptive. It's something I can't even work with. Mm-hmm. So it was getting to that point, and but I did it. I had fun with it. I mean, but I don't want people to think that that's the way it should be.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for the, you know, you guys who are listening to this, I met many of you after the show. And I love it. I love doing the meet and greets more now than ever. I thoroughly enjoy meeting the people. I put a thing on the Facebook page about how I was, you know, it's my last, the end of this tour. And, I mean, I just loved meeting everybody. Everybody is so nice, as they are. They're nice to you.
Yep.
They're nice to me. They're nice to Olivia. They're nice. They give us gifts, and they give my daughter gifts, and just the hugs and the kind words. All of it is just, I love it. I mean, I know every asshole says this, but we truly have the best fans. We really do. And, you know, there's a few of you that, you know, like we could do without, but we'll still let it happen. Because you do buy tickets. But for the most part, everybody is just great.
Yeah, so nice.
I know.
Everyone.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was Long Island, you know? I mean, it was Long Island. And then I stayed around in the bar, which is what I love to do. I knew I didn't have to get up too early to drive to Rhode Island. So I was, you know, kind of hanging out in the bar. And the two golden girls came in. They were hanging out. Like, guys, one of the Nolan boys was there, of the famed Nolans that I talk about on the show all the time. Johnny Nolan was there with his fiance and his fifth fiance. And and then just a bunch of people from, you know, all walks of my old Long Island days. And they, yeah, you know, and they're all impressed with what I've done with my life, which is, I think, I mean, they're impressed for now. The moment they pass PC Rich, they're like, oh, who gives a fuck about that asshole?
Yeah.
You know, who thinks, who the fuck's he think he is? You know,
that's after the last drink.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It starts to get that way. When it gets, you know, there. So yeah, I was like,
poking,
oh, boy,
the
let
chest.
Let me get out of here. So I got out of it. But yeah, then back to the hotel. Then nothing, you know, like, no, like, I don't go out. I was thinking, of course, thinking about going out after that. Like, let me just go to a regular bar where nobody knows who I am on Long Island. And they're like, what am I doing? Like, who do I think I'm going to run into here? Aaron Judge and Holbrook? I don't think that's happening. So I just said, just stay at the hotel, just go to sleep, and then drive to Rhode Island. I did.
You drove.
Got in my rental car and drove to Rhode Island.
Nice.
A nice drive. Get to my nice hotel in Rhode Island. And all right, now I'm going to say this about Rhode Island. I've never been before. And I know there's probably nice parts of it. I've heard things. Heard they got beaches. Heard Providence is beautiful. I wasn't in those parts. I was not in those parts. I was in a very nice hotel, kind of like a new hip hotel. And I walked across the street to... Now, first of all, let me just say this. Is this too long? Are we boring?
No.
I'm going to be boring today because I can't... My brain's not even functioning. But anyway, I check into my hotel.
Yeah.
And there, the whole time, all I'm hearing about is this storm that is coming to hit all Long Island, Rhode Island, going to crush the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 80 mile an hour winds, 7 inches of rain, flooding everywhere, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, fuck. Here we go. And I don't, you know, I can't see shit at night anyway, driving, especially when it's pouring rain. I'm in a car that I don't know. All of it is just a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I see it coming in. You know, my mother's calling me because all they do is watch weather. Oh, Christopher, there's a big storm. Cancel the show. My mother goes, cancel the show. Like, cancel the show. It's in an hour. And
there's no canceling. Yeah.
You got to cancel the show. And there was no rain. It was fine. It was kind of warm and just, you know, nice. But anyway, I mean, I don't know, had this fucking ride I took to the theater. I mean, I don't know if I have night, I think I have night blindness, Alex. I think like many of the listeners, I have night blindness. I can't see shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dark. But then I asked the people in the audience, I'm like, am I crazy or are these the worst roads I've ever had? I go, no, no, no. They told me, they said, we are notorious for terrible roads.
Mm.
Like, this is what, you know, I guess Joe Biden, didn't he sign some infrastructure plan or something, billion-dollar infrastructure?
He didn't fix it?
Well, I mean, I think they're in the process of it, but you know how fixing roads goes.
Yeah.
It takes 5 fucking years. There's cones everywhere. They change the on-ramps. They change the off-ramps. It's pouring fucking rain. I can't see shit. I don't know with the on... We're flop. You know, you do it. You're on expressways, highway, whatever they call them there. Freeways, expressways, everyone's doing 75 miles an hour. I don't know what I'm like. Fuck, I can't see that sign. I can't see that sign. I'm turning around. I'm stopping. Oh, I mean, just dying.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time the guy's calling me like, where are you? Where are you? I'm like, what time's the show start? He's like 7. I said, I'll be there at 7.
Yeah,
I'll be there. I've never missed a show in my life. I'll be there. And then he goes, where's Alex? Trying to reach him. I said, Alex is not coming to that show.
He's trying to reach me.
That's what he said. He goes, I'm trying to get his phone number. This is. We'll tell you how Alex's career is going. He's like, you can't even find this guy. He's like, I'm calling your agent. Your agent doesn't know who he is.
Your agent calls me every time we do the road and he has no idea who I am.
No, he has no idea who I am. Yeah, I mean, that guy's barely functioning. But anyway, this guy's like, he doesn't have, what's his last name? Does he have a phone number? I was like, he's not coming.
Mm-hmm.
Alex isn't, he's not coming. He's in Los Angeles. He's not coming. So he's like, so I have an opening act. I'm like, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. We'll land.
All these people want to get out of the storm.
Now, this is the whole time I'm like talking and driving and can't see shit. This is when I drive down a one-way road. and I'm already there. Anyway, I make it in. And it's full. And it's great. And it's a little like space in the theater. I mean, the theater's gorgeous. He after the show, he's like, you want to come see the theater? Because I bitched on stage the whole time. Like, I guess I'm not going to have to play the big theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then he goes, well, if I didn't know you wanted to. He goes, you fucking killed it on tickets. He goes, well, you could come back and play the big theater whenever you want. Like, what you sold to that small place is what everybody sells in the big theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody sells it out.
Yeah.
Except for maybe like a couple of freakish occurrences. But mm-hmm. for the most part, you know, it's 200 people. And that's pretty much what I did, or close to it. So I was like, yeah, that'll be fine. Let's do it. But, man, it was fucking... Just I had, at that point I was five. It was the fifth city, and of the, you know, and I knew it was over.
Yep.
And I knew I had to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning because my flight was at 5:10 a.m. I never saw a 5:10 a.m. flight in my life.
Mm-mm.
And of course it's going to be. They say the storm is going to be the worst at 4 a.m. It's got, you know, I mean, stay off the roads. Don't bother. It's going to be death and destruction. We're everywhere. Now I'm just in a full fucking panic. And I go, of course, I get a thing from Delta. You know, just so you know, tomorrow's, you know, inclement weather. There could be some changes to your flight. I'm like, I have made it through this entire tour, this entire year, without a hiccup, without a delay, without a cancellation. And this is the year of, you know, we kept hearing these stories about delays and cancellations and all this. And I didn't have any of them.
Mm-mm.
Not one.
No.
And I went to a million places.
I had like five.
I know. I have like connecting cities and all this shit, but nothing. And I like the last fucking show of the tour is going to be the canceled flight. And now I'm stuck in Providence, Rhode Island. Sure enough, It wasn't as bad as everyone said I was going to be. I went walking out at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking I was going to be on, you know, the Edmund Fitzgerald, but it wasn't that bad. It was just like, oh shit, it's like a light rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out where I was going in the pitch dark, and I got on the plane, and here I am now, still standing. But let me say this about the good people of Rhode Island. Get out. No, just it. Many of them came over from, you know, from the Boston, Massachusetts area. Mm-hmm. You know who was there?
Who?
Desiree's Desires.
Oh, yeah.
Desiree, her mom, and two friends. I have to say, one of the better looking crowds we've had in a while. Everybody was real nice looking.
Keep their shit tied
up there. Nice looking women, some nice looking leather pants cladded women coming up.
Okay.
Coming up and taking pictures. Really thankful mm-hmm. that I was there. Thankful. Like some crying. You know, I just can't believe I'm standing within your presence.
Yeah.
And that's what I needed for my final show.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a little bit of you know, stroking.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not stroke an ego?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
They really went above and beyond. So thank you to the people I have to tell you, thank you to Cleveland, Buffalo, Long Island, and Rhode Island for ending this tour in the best way possible. Every show was sold amazingly, and every show was so much fun. I couldn't have left on a higher note, and I have you guys to thank for it. It was as good as it could have possibly have been. I couldn't have asked for anything better. I was on cloud nine when it was all over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I'm back in my room eating. They had a salami. You like salami, don't you?
I'm a salami fan.
Yeah, I know. They had salami and cheese. You know, they think you get it out of the package.
Mm-hmm. Like a Lunchable?
They had it in like the pantry area. Well, it's like a better. It is, yes, it is a Lunchable, but they package it a little bit better than a Lunchable.
But it says like Stone Farms on it or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Stone Ridge Farms.
Yeah.
So I'm there. There I am. You know, so it goes back to what I was saying about Riz, you know, highest of highs, you know, literally. You know, like gorgeous women in leather pants going, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm standing next to you. To 15 minutes later, I'm soaking wet, sitting on the edge of my bed, eating salami and cheese on like a little tiny cracker that I had found in my that I had taken from a Delta lounge a month ago.
Just a single cracker.
No, yeah, it was a couple.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm like, fuck, man. When is it ever going to be? I mean, and people always say to me, you know, and this is going to be an asshole thing to say once again, but people will say, you seem so down to earth. You know, you're like a nice, approachable person. You're not like a dick. I'm like, how could I be? How could I? Listen, you don't think I want to be up to, what's the opposite of down to earth? Up to earth? You don't think I want to tell you fuckers to fuck off?
Stuck up, I think?
Yeah, I would love it, but I couldn't possibly. Mm-hmm. I want to be the asshole who goes, good night, and runs over out of the room like I'm on fire, gets mm-hmm. on a private jet, and tells you all to fuck off. That's what I would love, but I can't do that. I'm eating salami sitting in a middle seat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not, you know, how could I possibly, because you imagine if I was a dick, people would be like, fuck that guy eats salami and I saw him in the middle seat.
Yeah.
Fuck that piece
of shit. In the back of the plane.
In aisle 42.
Mm-hmm.
So the humbling just continues, but at least the tickets were sold. And so I thank you all because listen, I know because I did it. I do it. Alex does it.
Mm-hmm.
We do it. We leave the house to go to these shows and we get in the cars and we drive through the dark cities into the weird neighborhoods that many of these comedy clubs are in the case of downtowns and areas that you guys don't necessarily go to in your day-to-day, you know, life in these towns. Let's use Cleveland as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know many of you guys live in a different part of Cleveland. You don't come down to that area where Hilarities is 4th Street or whatever it's called, and rightfully so from what I've seen of some hours of 4th Street. You know what I mean? We've all seen it. You guys have seen it. And so for you guys to do that is so, it's not lost on me or out. We are so appreciative of buying tickets and coming out and finding parking. And I know everybody says that, but I'm, so that's why I will stay and take pictures. And I know many of you like to take as many. You got to come back. It didn't come out good. My husband was drunk. He didn't get it right. So let's do it again. And I have no problem with that. I'll stay there till 4 o'clock in the morning if need be. Mm-hmm. And I won't charge a dime.
Not a dime.
So anyway, there you go. How's that for weekend wrap up?
A good wrap.
We're going to be back tomorrow. I'm going to get some rest tonight. And we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new Tuesday episode. Fun one. We're going to like wrap up the year.
Because
this is it. We're like in New Year.
This is it?
I mean, I don't know if I'm in the Christmas spirit. I feel like I've lost it. I feel like I had it for a minute. We put up the tree at like Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Then we just ignored the tree. And I yelled at my family. It's like we put up this damn tree. Nobody
waters it?
And my wife said, well, I've been gone for six days.
That thing's thirsty.
Yesterday, I said to my wife, I said, are you watering the tree? She goes, oh, yeah, I'm watering it. I said, no, you're not. She goes, you're right, I'm not. I was like, she goes, I'm going to do it now. I was like, yeah, please. And so then I was like saying, like, we need to, I don't even know what, I don't even know the argument I'm making. I'm like, we need to pay more attention to the tree.
Yeah.
My wife's like, what do you want to do? Pull up chairs and look at it? I was like, I don't know, something. Mm. I feel like we put it up and never said another word
you
about
any
it.
You gifts under it yet?
No.
That's what you got to do.
I know, maybe it's that.
Put some joy under that thing.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's that. But what do you got? Do you sit there and look at your tree?
I mean, you know, we have it in the corner. We turn the lights on at night. We put the string lights on the patio
So you say, it's a nice ambiance to the place.
You click the little lights and they might twinkle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
We got a nice program going on.
This guy's got this Kim Kardashian over at his house. Yeah, so I feel like I wasn't in the Christmas, but then I feel like I completely lost it.
I blame the Santa run or the SantaCon.
Well, SantaCon actually got almost, I was a little jealous of, you know, like I always say about these things, you know, when people have a passion for something,
mm-hmm.
you know, God bless them. And these people were, some of them were like full on. I feel like what's happening with SantaCon now is it's becoming mixed with Halloween. A lot of people are doing evil Santas.
Like the Violent Night.
Yeah,
kind of
they're
thing.
Doing like a or they're doing like a wolf man in a Santa costume.
Okay.
It seemed like there's a crossover happening
mm-hmm.
of scary Santa Clauses and a lot of regular ones too.
Yeah.
But of course, the worst thing that can happen to SantaCon for the people who are like have to work the bars and stuff is it's going to be a nice day in New York. Like, it's going to be a 58 degree Saturday, and it was. So it's like that is a lethal combination in New York of you know, perfect weather, drinking, Santa costumes. I mean, it's just, but fun.
Yeah.
Like, I could imagine if I was, I saw people there who were my age in it, you know, in it. But I mean, I hope people go out, put on a Santa costume, hook up, you know, like people used to, right? Have some drinks, you know. You look like a, what's her name? Mrs. Claus? You could be my Mrs. Claus tonight, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
You want to curse this Kringle? What's up?
I'd like to slide down that chimney.
How about
another one?
Yeah, go ahead. We'll go about to tat. Prance her and dance her all over you, girl.
I'd like to do.
I'll put this elf on that shelf.
All right. Give me a chance. God damn it. I'd like to. Rudolph, your reign. All right. You win. Son of a bitch. But anyway, it looked fun. But I can't. I mean, I was just so thrilled. And you know what the best part about it is? When I sell like that, I make money. Mm-hmm. Like, they hand me these fucking checks at the end, and I'm like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. And, you know, the fucking guy in Long Island, once again, I can't say enough about how great this guy is. He just, I mean, it's like, I feel like I'm in Goodfellas when he just comes back and because he's been there for 48 years, I think he said.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, Amy Schumer and blah, blah, blah. And he's got I like his approach to comedy clubbing. He's like, you know, I used to have a manager here. You know, he said Amy Schumer was new here. She's a Long Island girl herself. And she was starting out there. And, he goes, I came walking in one day and she's on stage. And the fucking room is like, the roof's coming off the place.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I don't know who she is. I don't know anything about it. But I tell the manager, say, whoever that is, book her again next week. And he goes, no, I don't like her jokes. They're too hack. He goes, you think I give a fuck if they have hack jokes? You hear what's going on in that room right now?
Yeah.
I don't care about her jokes.
Yeah.
That room is on fire.
Do you know how many carrot cakes we just sold? get her out there. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what he's thinking. Yeah. He's like a bottom line. Yeah. He cares about what's hack and what's not. So that's funny. But yeah, so he was just like, yeah, like bring her back. You know, she's been crushing ever since. So he's like, yeah, that's what I like. Because he was like, he didn't say I'm hack, but he goes, look at you. You sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to your fuck. I don't give a shit what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, good. I don't care. I don't want you to sit there and critique everything I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you're selling tickets and people are having fun at my club, to so much other, they'll be like, I'd come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done my job.
Yeah.
And exactly. So he's super nice. I love him. And anyway, he just pays you in cash. He just gives you like a wad of cash. And it just feels so... like mobster dirty. I love it. I'm just like, thank you. Like I'm some sort of hooker or something. Yeah. Just grabbing just stuff out of my pocket. You know? And then I go out and chat with B. Arthur with a big wad of cash in my pocket. And I don't know what those guys got. I mean, if they're just doing a door deal, I mean, and they got to split it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I asked him, I said, how come you don't do four Golden Girls? He goes, it's fucking bad enough splitting it with this asshole.
Yeah.
Splitting between the two of us, we don't make shit. Think I'm going to split it between four?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I guess you're right about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, fun time. We're going to do a whole wrap-up on the year tomorrow. Who do you think is person of the year? Person of the year.
Do you already know the answer?
No, I don't. No, like, I mean, not like our person of the year. Like, cover to cover's person of the year. I have an idea.
Okay.
You know, not like Taylor Swift and Time Magazine's person of the year. She mm-hmm. was. And I'm sure other people do person of the year. But I believe I'll say who it is, and then we'll go into more in-depth about it and why
tomorrow.
I believe our person of the year, for many reasons, we got a lot of mileage out of them. We did a lot of jokes. We had a lot of fun. I believe our person of the year was Dylan Mulvaney.
Okay.
What do you think?
Do
you think we got our most mileage out of Dylan Mulvaney?
I think we got a good bit. I mean, it's mm-hmm. still going on. You're still hearing about it.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Dylan Mulvaney as our cover to cover's person of the
year.
And you heard what I said. I said person.
Yeah, they.
I said person
of the year.
I said person. So that's person of the year. And we'll, you know, we could always give it to Bahad Behabi. Mm-hmm. She came, but she came late in the year. Yeah. She gave us nothing until the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you could always give it to Britney Spears, but it's too obvious.
Yeah.
So there'll be more of that type of stuff. There's a lot of stories to discuss. Things we discussed. I kind of tried to look up a little bit of things we discussed this year. And some of it seems like, oh my God, that was seems like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And some of it seems like yesterday. But so we'll have some fun. And that'll be Tuesday's freebie. And today was just, I barely made it through. Anything else? How did your shows all go?
Great. All great.
People love you. Oh, I mean, well, they good. Love you. You know, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. You have a full fan base. Mm-hmm. That I gave you.
Yes,
thank you. No, it's too late now. I mean, the thanks shouldn't have to be coaxed out of you. You know, it's just come here and there.
Yeah.
Thank you for this fan base. Mm-hmm. You know, now your girlfriend's got the fan base too. They love her too.
I know, more than me.
I know. She's a nice person. You guys are nice people, you know. That's why people like you. You're nice people. I'm a fucking asshole, but people like me. Mm-hmm. You know,
because assholes sell tickets. Nice people don't.
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, it depends. Thank God I could have ended all of this in Rochester this weekend. Mm-hmm. That was the plan. I know. And it would have been like, could you imagine after what I just did the last four nights mm-hmm. with those cities I mentioned, how great it was. And I would have had fun in Rochester, but I just would have had to turn around tomorrow, more or less, and fly back to where I just came from.
Yep.
In front of what looked like was going to be 20 people. If they had a windfall of ticket sales mm-hmm. over the last 3 weeks or month, I would have gotten 20.
Yeah. And all those people made it to Buffalo.
A lot of them are like, we just came to Buffalo instead.
Yeah, no problem.
And I was like, oh, good. I mean, I'll come back to Rochester, but I just can't do it for that.
And it's a busy time.
We're going to go. You and I, and I don't know how this is going to play out, but you and I have to go to a party together. Oh. Well, not together. We're not going together. Mm-hmm. But you and I are going to the same party on Saturday night.
Yeah.
We're both invited to a party mm-hmm. on Saturday night. You know what some people call that? What you're doing?
What?
They call friend poaching.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. You ever heard of that? You ever hear that term? Oh, Heather McDonald uses it all the time.
Classic.
Friend poaching. They call it friend poaching. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Alex and Olivia coming to the Sarah Colonna Christmas party.
Yeah. Oh, I can't be friends with Justin Martindale?
He's not coming.
I thought he was.
He was, and now he's not.
Oh, okay.
Too much heat.
Too much heat.
Too much. I don't know anything, but I know everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, I think there's too much heat.
Okay.
I don't know if Heather's, I don't know who's coming. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been to plenty of these.
I've been to many of them along the way.
What's the vibe?
The vibe is very chill.
Chill.
It's very chill.
I got to get, what are you wearing?
You know, I mean,
do you go festive?
I always think I'm going to, but then I never do, mm-hmm. you know.
And
you
leather jacket last minute?
Yeah. A leather jacket, maybe a black turtleneck.
Okay.
Something like that to make me look. But if sometimes it's a little warmer than you'd want it to be, like in the backyard, because it's a little in and out kind mm-hmm. of thing. And there's nice people always, you know. He said they got 100 people coming.
Yeah, big guest list.
Big guest list, but then you see she goes a little crazy on the guest list. Mm-hmm. You know, she throws it out to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just like Hillary Clinton's on the guest list.
But
you know, she didn't respond.
Yeah. There's like movie stars that live in Ohio on there.
I know. There's a lot of those people. But
they're coming. Everyone's coming.
Well, you never know.
You never know.
1 year they all came. It was a lot of these Debbie Ryans and the guy from 21 Pilots.
You know what's so funny is when we were looking at the Evites, the 21 Pilots started at Olivia's church.
That's her husband.
Yeah. And Debbie so Ryan. They're all, she's known them for years.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And so she's like, are they going to be there? And I was like, where do they live? She's like, Ohio. I was like, no, they're not.
Yeah. They moved to Ohio. But anyway, they were there 1 year. So who knows? Anyway, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a fun party. And then we were supposed to have, I was supposed to have another party mm-hmm. this week and it's canceled. And I'm almost like, thank God. Like it was going to be a little, but I was looking to get into the Christmas spirit mm-hmm. again. I got to get it back, Alex. Yeah. Christmas spirit back. So that's what I'm going to try and do.
I think you need a Santa beard.
Like, what do you mean, where? Just like, around the house? Like, around the house?
Well, to a party, maybe, or...
Well, my beard, if I let my beard grow, it's pretty Santa.
It's pretty Santa.
Yeah, but it doesn't get thick like a Santa beard, mm-hmm. but it's gray, certainly as gray as a Santa beard. I just have to let my beard grow a little bit, and I look like a guy, an elderly man who's had, you know, like dementia issues, who's mm-hmm. escaped the home.
Yeah.
That's what I start to look like if I let it grow too much. Look like just a guy who's walked off from the home.
Okay.
That's the kind of beard I get, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Kind of patchy?
No, it's not patchy. It's just like, it's not really thick,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm not one of those guys that you see them all. I mean, now that's the look. Everybody looks like a Civil War soldier, you know? So, but I don't have that. I don't get that look. Anyway, thanks again. I don't know how many more times I could say it. It was so nice to meet you all and see many of you again and again and again. And I love it. And I'm coming back in 2024. And I'm doing kind of all new, you know, new things, new stuff, new everything. Longer stories, interesting stuff. Old Chelsea, like I tell that whole new long story about a party at Chelsea Handler's house that seems to be going well.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go as well as I would have liked in Long Island because they all... You know, they're all radical Trumpers Chelsea. who hate Chelsea and
she's
hate
a commie
celebrities
whore.
And all that. Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, it didn't go well in Florida, you know, but mm-hmm. some places it goes real well if they just let you tell it.
Yeah.
And it's been going well. It's been good. So thank God I have chunks like that that are more, you know, fun for me to tell.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. We love you. What do we got to get out of here on, Alex? We got to go.
All righty. And we'll get out of here for the good people of Buffalo. Thank you for coming out. We had a great time. This is a little bit of Nina Cherry with that Buffalo Stance.
Ooh, yes.
Scratching and give me a beat. Ouch.
Oh, some Nina Cherry.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce...
What year was this? I gotta say, this is 99?
Let me see.
Maybe earlier? Oh, this is a long time ago.
89.
Holy,
from Raw Like Sushi.
I guess it was. You got it. It'll make sense in a second. Here, go. Here you go. Buffalo Stance. Thank you, Buffalo. Thank you, Cleveland. Long Island, and of course, Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. What wish talk it or wish or took it? Rhode Island. It was great. You guys are all so good to see
was
you
it
all.
Woonsocket?
Woonsocket. That's a Woonsocket. Oh, boy. So much fun. All right. And then, of course, yeah, I won't promote. We're starting up again in January.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas and then Fort Worth, Texas. Hyenas in Fort Worth, Friday and Saturday night. Out the door. Gonna be wild. Always wild over there in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
FrenchOla.fun, I think, has those dates already on it. And the rest will be coming. I'm booked solid till June of 2024. And who knows what happens after that. Out of the business. Thank you, Nina Cherry. Her brother, Eagle Eye Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he had a big hit? Save tonight and fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, be gone. They were brother and sister.
Oh.
What kind of one-hit one? I don't think they went on to do much after those two.
Do they have, like, influential parents? Or
I don't know.
How did that happen?
They're the Cherries.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you know, you know.
This is a hot tune.
Yeah.
From what I remember. 80, what was it, 89?
89.
Ooh. Tough time in my life, 89. Ooh, I was deep, knee deep at Sizzler, knee deep. I was elbow deep in cheese toast every night of the week, Alex.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. I think I'd done some bad highlights or something on my hair. Short sleeve. They went with a short sleeve shirt
mm-hmm.
uniform that I was just not a fan of. Short sleeve shirt, cummerbund, like a paisley cummerbund. That was the... After they remodeled, like a rebranding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was in 89. I was in the paisley tie, bow tie, and cummerbund.
You're part of the pilot program for
for that outfit. And oh, God, it was the worst. Yeah, that's about 89. And then I would go over. That's why this song, I'd go to Bobby McGee's in Burbank. like we were working on Hollywood, like we could have went down to like cool places in Sunset Strip and stuff, but for some reason we went to Burbank. Me and Carl and like my loser friends went to Bobby McGee's in Burbank because the Mexican cooks took us.
Yeah,
because it was 89 cent Coronas.
Oh yeah,
because for the year 89.
Yeah,
so we went. They were like, we go to a place for 89 cent Coronas. Essay, and we're like, well, we'll go with you.
We're in.
And they took us. And it was, we used to go there a lot. We used to, like, it was like a restaurant, but they became a club at night.
Well.
Oh, boy. The things I've done. Thank God I'm now, you know, such a big star that I can crush it and wound socket.
Yeah. Where do you go? The Monkey Bar.
I had to pay for my reservation.
Yeah.
Whatever. The Monkey Bar.
But you're doing fine.
Yeah. I had to be Juan Gabriel for the whole entire night, but that doesn't make any difference. All right, everybody. We'll come more coming at you. We're releasing this right now. Enjoy it.